It's important to watch words and even small, seemingly insignificant statements in the Bible, because nothing is in here for no reason. Everything is in here for a reason, and everything has a meaning and a purpose. So we begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Notice he doesn't say, I chose this as a profession. I felt like I could get rich being a preacher. That's not what he said. He tells us right at the beginning why it is that he is what he is, preacher of the gospel. He said it's by the will of God. It wasn't my idea, it was his. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Not faithful to Christ Jesus. Be hard for any of us to claim that in perfection, wouldn't it? But faithful in Christ Jesus. And that we are. That we are. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Notice it's not acceptable, but accepted. And we'll stop reading with those 6 verses. And the title of our message would be The Blessing of Believing. The Blessing of Believing. I've said this many times before. Not all of you have heard me say this, but I want to say it again. You do not believe God by effort. Did you know that? Philippians chapter 1, Paul said, it is given us to believe. It's a blessing, the blessing of believing. It's not by effort. You can do your best to believe something you don't believe, and you'll wind up saying, I'd like to believe it, I just can't make myself believe it. But if you can believe God, it's not your doing. It is given us to believe. So we're talking about the blessing of believing. Now, the true measure of blessing is not in how much one has in this world, or how much one knows, or how much one can do, but rather the true measure of blessing is how much one believes God. It's not meant for every believer to do something great in the eyes of men. It's not meant for every believer to be a preacher. I know there's little schools and there's little cliques that wants to make every young man a preacher. And every woman a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife. No. God does his work in every area of life. Plant workers, landscapers, ditch diggers, bankers, lawyer. Well, I don't know about so many of them, but anyway, God gets into all this, huh? He does. Simply believing God, watching him work, is the greatest of all. Believing he has done and will do according to his own good pleasure. The blessings of believing. Some of the most blessed people who've ever lived, and some living now, are people who have little, know little, and can do little. But yet they firmly believe God. That is blessing above every other blessing. It really is. It really is. Now, the question this morning, do you really believe God? Has God ever done you wrong? Will God do you wrong? Does what people think of you reflect what God thinks of you? Is it possible that the majority might be wrong about God? Is it possible that the majority might be wrong about you? Is my sickness and my sorrow and my afflictions in life a sign of God's displeasure? All these are big questions. And I'm telling you, it is only God-given faith by which we believe God that can stabilize our minds and hearts in the face of all these questions. Apart from believing God, this world will drive you crazy. Now, I'm telling you. He's our hope this morning. And you're not here by accident this morning. None of us know what tomorrow holds. And I'm not trying to pitch any scary stuff out, but God only knows where any one of us could be tomorrow in relation to sickness, death, hospital, job, whatever. But God knows. God knows. So we're emphasizing this thing this morning of believing Him. The believer's greatest blessing in this world is believing God. We read here in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Paul says God is the one that's to be credited and praised. Blessed be God. It is He that has brought me into this life of believing Him. Now, the religious world today is puzzled as to why any intelligent person would not believe and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ourselves say, oh, why can't they just see? Oh, why can't they just see they need the Lord? Why don't people just turn to the Lord? But see, if we do not consent, and if we do not understand that there was something that happened to man in the fall when sin entered, and what that was, all the faculties, man's being, mind, heart, will, affections, everything was affected. And it resulted in man being incapable of coming to God on his own. Now, people can talk you into going to church, and they can talk you into singing and reading your Bible. They might talk you into preaching. I don't know. But nobody can talk you into coming to the Lord. He has to do that. He has to do that. So, three things sin has done to Adam's race. Sin has darkened the mind with respect to spiritual things. And that's what we just said. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man. That is the nitty-gritty you. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He has no interest, has no desire. The natural man don't. He'd rather go fishing. He'd rather go hunting. He'd rather do anything than think about God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world, well, who is that? There's millions of them. Satan being the chief. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, that is dead to the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them. So sin has darkened the minds with respect to spiritual things. Second, sin has corrupted man's affections. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Who was that light? The Lord Jesus Christ. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. The affections, because of sin, are corrupted. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You hear people say, well, if I know my heart, I want to do this, I want to do that. No. This book said that heart of yours is deceitful above all things. It'll tell you that you're something better than what you are. It'll tell you you can do what you can't do. It's deceitful above all things, and not just slightly unclean, but desperately wicked. That's what it said. Whose heart's he talking about? He's talking about this natural heart of every one of us. Deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God knows it. And then the Lord Jesus said, this really nails it, in Mark 7:21, for from within. You say, well, I just, if it hadn't been for him or her, I'd be all right. No. The Lord Jesus didn't point out yonder. He pointed in here. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Job 15:16, man drinketh iniquity like water. Sin has corrupted our affections. All that's a roundabout way of saying we like it. Huh? Somebody said, oh, bless God, I hadn't had any trouble with sin since I've been saved. Well, I never had any trouble with it before I was saved. All my trouble started when the Lord moved in. See? That's the difference. And the third thing sin has done, it has placed man's will in bondage. John 5:40, you will not come unto me. Christ said this, that you might have life. You just will not. The will of man is bound by sin. John 5:44, he said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, he can't do it. Or the leopard his spots? Can't do it. He said, if that can happen, then may ye also do good which are accustomed to do evil. It ain't happening. It's just not in you. It's not. So this morning, believing God and believing that Christ has satisfied God on our behalf is the greatest blessing you can have. It's the gift of God to you to believe. All this business about I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to try to do better, I'm going to hope my good will outweigh my bad, and boy, when the time comes, I just hope I made the grade. You hadn't made the grade, you're not going to make the grade. We are accepted in Christ. In Christ. Oh my. So, in spite of your belief in Him, your interest in Him, your delight in worshiping Him, and your presence here today, still there is in us that would disbelieve, that would accuse God of turning away from us or forsaking us at some point in our miserable efforts to be a Christian. But you see, we forget that He knew us through and through before we were ever born. He saw the end of us before the beginning of us. And the reason He saw the end of us is because He decreed the end of us. And He's promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You hear that quoted a lot, but we don't believe it a lot. You say, oh, I believe it. Well, so do I. But there is a depraved nature in here that can't believe it. And there is a devil that reminds me every day with every negative thing that happens, I guess God's left you. And we reply, yeah, it seems like He has. But to believe, to be blessed to believe, I will never, Christ said, not under any circumstances leave thee, nor forsake thee. Well, who are you going to believe? Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now that is the most unnatural thing, that a mother forsake her baby. And yet we're living in a time we're so near the judgment of God. We're so near the society in Noah's day before the flood. It's not an uncommon thing. Have babies, kill them before they're born, abandon them after they're born. That's where we are today. There's no shame in anything. But God says it don't change Him. A woman may forget her sucking child, yet will not I forget thee. God's not like us. Aren't you glad of that? You better be glad of that. Can you really believe that God started with you and He's going to quit somewhere along the way? Oh, no. Oh, no. He said He wouldn't. He said He wouldn't. Now, here's what He will do. He'll come with the correction rod. He'll take the belt off to you, like any caring father does. But it's not because He's forsaken you. It's because He won't forsake you. He will not. So, oh, the blessing of believing. Now, I want to refer to three beautiful things, and I've got to hurry along in these verses that we've read in Ephesians 1. The first one is this. Whose idea was it that I be a believer? We've already mentioned that. Instead of me being an unbelieving, blaspheming, cussing, low downer than hell individual, disgrace to society. Some have been there. That's where we'd all be. But for the grace of God. There was a time we were all headed in that direction. Well, what made the difference? What made the difference? When I hear somebody say, I got my life straightened out, I run the other way. And when I hear somebody say, God straightened my life out, I say, tell me more. That's how it happened. That's how it is. That's how it works. And here's the difference in verse 4. Look at the scripture plainly. According. That's a connecting word. He's about to describe the blessings of verse 3. And here's the first one. According as he, God the Father, hath chosen us, those who believe, in him, in Christ Jesus. When did he do this? Before the foundation of the world. Now that statement says that you have nothing to do with what God thinks of you. You say, oh, I thought I did. No, anything you could do would turn God off, not on. It's what his son did that turns him on. Chosen in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now people don't like that. And they'll tell you, we'll not hear of a God that we can't influence one way or another. Well, like it or not, this verse says God's mind was made up before he ever created the world. Like it or not. Somebody says, well, I'm worried that I'm not one of the chosen. Well, if you're not, you won't worry much about it. You'll put it out of your mind, go on with your hellish living with no real fear of God in your heart ever until you plunge into eternity without God. You don't have to worry too much about that. But how precious this is to those who cannot put God out of our mind. We long to be in his presence. That's what we're doing here today. We long to hear more about him. That's why we're here today. And we know this desire is not of our own making. It's God doing. And this verse tells us where it came from. We were chosen of God in Christ before the foundation of the world. What's going on here this morning is older than time. In the mind and purpose of God, he had a family, a people, loving him, walking with him, worshiping him, before he ever hung out the stars. So it's clear. Oh my. And this is what God's people love. We use that word love so loosely. I love a 53 Chevrolet pickup. There's one sitting out here on the side of 64 West, and my heart skips a beat every time I drive by it. But that's only 63 years old. Pretty new, ain't it? I love a 57 Chevy. That was my first car. But that started only 59 years ago. That's nothing much, is it? But you see, what's working in my heart this morning is older than time. It's an eternal something. It's a little chunk of eternity that knows nothing of sin's curse and sin's shame and sin's sorrow. And it's a new creation in me that delights in God, chosen of God in Christ. I love it, don't you? People have said to me, well, I believe everybody has a chance to be saved. Well, I don't believe anybody has a chance to be saved. Salvation is not by chance. God has to do it deliberately. And he does. It's by grace. It's his doing, not ours. So chosen. Chosen for what? Well, I could go on and on about this chosen business. I mean, everybody said, won't you please accept Jesus? Well, I didn't know he needed your acceptance. You need his acceptance. We got everything backwards. Chosen for what? Here's the second thing, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God made the decision before we got here, before he made the world, that he'd have children. And how many he'd have. And who they'd be. And he went ahead and named them. Chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Named after Christ. Now this word here in verse 5, predestinated. Having predestinated us. Well, you know what a destination is. A destination is the place you're headed toward and going to arrive at. It's a destination. And this prefix pre, P-R-E, means before. Before the destination. Before you arrive. It means ahead of time, beforehand. So God hath beforehand predetermined the destination of those whom he's chosen. What is it? What is that destination? It's unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God chose that you'd be his child. Now wait a minute. Is this saying that God chose who his children would be individually and that he chose them in Christ before he made the world? That's exactly what it's saying. And that blessed truth of this Bible, which is all through this Bible, is the very reason we've still got plenty of empty seats this morning. People don't want to hear this. We won't hear about a God that we can't manipulate and that we can't make happy by what we do. No, God is happy with his son. He said over and over, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And if he's ever pleased with you, it's in his son that he's pleased with you. God couldn't look at you apart from his son without slapping you into hell instantly. No, there's nothing in you that deserves anything better. But in Christ is where it's at. Oh my. And here's why. According to the good pleasure of his will. God did it just because he wants to. And this blessed truth, so clear in God's word, his elect children love it. It's about his choice of us. But there are hundreds of cocky religionists in our area that call themselves preachers, screaming about everything under the sun. And this blessed truth we're reading God's word about absolutely infuriates them. They hate it. They're indoctrinated in their little Bible colleges, so-called, to never mention predestination, election. And if they do, they're instructed how to explain it away. And the mindset of the whole business is to emphasize how much God needs us rather than how much we need him. Emphasize what we must do for him rather than what he's done for us. And make the sad plea that the survival of his kingdom is in our hands. Whether or not God's a failure depends on us. How blasphemous. He's at our mercy rather than we at his. Oh no, oh no. Turn on your religious radio in your listening area and that's about all you'll hear. It's about all you'll hear. I'm being mean this morning, aren't I? One of the most popular names in our area, and I'm not going to call the name, Western North Carolina, Upper South Carolina, I could call bushels of them. But this is one of the main ones. I heard him make this statement a few days ago. Calvinists have taken God's national election of Israel and mistakenly applied it to individual election. Well, he's the one that's mistaken. Paul is writing to a primarily Gentile church. at Ephesus. And he's talking about these blessings given to believers by God's election individually, if you please. Not nationally. Oh no. So first, we're chosen in Christ from eternity. Verse 4. Second, we're predestinated to the adoption of children. God's children. Verse 5. And then the third thing, and I'll be through in just a moment. Verse 6. We learn how God brings it to pass. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable, accepted in the Beloved. Now the Beloved is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we didn't make ourselves accepted. He hath made us accepted in Christ the Beloved. You're either accepted with God in Him, or you're damned forever. You say, that's hard. That's so. When I say Christ is your only hope, I mean Christ is your only hope. He's my only hope. And if you're here every Sunday for 30 years, Christ is your only hope. Amen. Or if you stumble in once a month or once or twice a year, Christ is your only hope. He's anybody's only hope. How blessed it is to believe this. But do you really believe it? And here's how you know. This is how you certainly know. Believing God is not something you take a hold of. Believing God is something that takes hold of you. If you've been blessed with God-given faith, it's changed your life. If religion is just some kind of little sideline with you that's all right when you got time or when you feel like it, then you're not doing anything but playing religion. And that won't do when you're dying. Oh, no. It won't even do to face society anymore. I'm telling you, folks, this thing's coming down to the wire. And we're silent about it. We need to be thinking about these things. We need to be serious about these things. Lesbian couples adopting baby boys. Queer couples adopting baby girls. It's happening all around us. Why do they do that? That's what they want. Killing, drinking, doping, you better find out what side you're on and get there and stay there. Paul said in Philippians 3, I took my watch off and that's a good thing. Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, I persecuted the church. This was before the Lord changed his heart. I persecuted the church. And that word persecuted means that I pressed. I gave it my all. With all that's in me, I intended to stamp out the preaching of Jesus Christ. I persecuted the church. But then when he went on down there to and told about the Lord changing his heart, he says, here's what I do now. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that word press that I'm doing now was the same Greek word as the persecuted back there, the pressure. What he's saying was, I gave my all against this business. And now that Christ has changed my life, I'm giving my all for it. I press toward the mark. I want to be all that God wants me to be. We're in a time when hell's not letting up, buddy. And they're not going to let up till the Lord comes. And I want to testify this morning to you. I want to be standing on the Lord's side when he comes. Don't you? I sure do. Thank God for the blessing of believing. Christ said, "You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. You didn't decide to be my child. I predestinated you that I would adopt you as my child by Jesus Christ to myself. And you didn't make yourself presentable and acceptable. You're accepted in the blood in my Son." We're blessed to believe. We're blessed in believing. We're blessed by what we believe. Just what we read you here in Ephesians chapter 1. Thank God for this greatest blessing of all, the blessing of believing. Blessing of believing.